Hey guys, and welcome back to Uplift Fit Nutrition Radio. Today I have an incredible guest. Her name is Esther Blum. She is a dietitian just like me, and she also just released her new book, which you guys know I only allow guests who I want to come on this podcast. And she just wrote this really incredible book I'm super excited about. It's called See You Later, Ovulator: Mastering Menopause with Nutrition, Hormones, and Self-Advocacy. And I'm really happy she is on here to talk about hormones and really dive in and give you guys insight to what could go wrong and how to help yourselves, especially when it comes down to menopause. So Esther, what made you write this book? I have to ask.
I wrote this book, Lacey, to represent the absolute battle cry that I hear from women in my practice on a daily basis. And I was really fed up with the amount of medical gaslighting that women experience. Their cares and their concerns are routinely dismissed. They are told, when they go to their doctors asking for hormones or saying, wow, I'm having hot flashes and I'm not sleeping and I've gained 10 pounds and my libido is in the tank. And they're often given an antidepressant prescription, which can abate hot flashes, but certainly won't fix your adrenal or thyroid issues or your gut issues. It won't get to the root cause of the problem. So I really decided that I was going to open the kimono on my practice and teach women what tests to ask for, how to ask for hormones, how to be better advocates for themselves, and give them the tools they need to get started on their own.
I absolutely love that. And for you guys that don't know, menopause is basically marking the end of your ability to reproduce. So after you've gone a period of about 12 routine months without a menstrual period, that's when it's quote unquote considered menopause. And with menopause, you have complete reduction in your estrogen, progesterone, even your testosterone as well. So a lot of women, they feel like they are not themselves and they gain a lot of weight and they're tired and fatigued. And there's a lot of other symptoms like the hot flashes, maybe night sweats that occur. And it can literally feel like you are an alien in your own body. So the fact that she is tackling menopause, something that a lot of doctors dismiss and a lot of women, they just think that they're going to have to struggle through, that's incredible. So I'm excited to talk about that today. There's a lot of women going through this and shouldn't have to go through it alone or struggle in it. So first question, how do we know that a woman is going through menopause?
So menopause, the stages of menopause start, could start as early as 10 years prior. It can take a woman up to 10 years to fully go through menopause, but you'll know the signs because A, you may skip a period here and there or multiple periods and then get a period. Your periods might get a lot heavier. You might get these mad river gushes. I have a client who literally bled through her tampon and pad into her shoes at work. So those are more extreme cases I see, but you will also notice more cravings, less quality sleep, more interrupted sleep, more frequent urination at night, vaginal dryness, weight gain, breast tenderness. It's kind of like you're backing out of your period the same way you went into it. You know, when you first went in, things were wonky and irregular and funny, and there was a lot less predictability. On the tail end of it, your estrogen and progesterone are declining overall, but your estrogen does have surges, and that's when women can experience hot flashes and wake up really hot at night. So now the list of symptoms I'm listing, not all of you are going to have these. Some women I know have no symptoms whatsoever, and others really take a beating. And I myself, I'm in perimenopause and I see also changes in my skin. I see more wrinkles that it just felt like they came on overnight. And I definitely notice changes in my sleep. So there are so many things you can do though. This book was written to teach you what to do to get through menopause and to soften the changes that are happening and put you a lot more in control with your diet, with testing, and with supplements if needed. So there is, and by the way, here's another really amazing tip that most people do not know, is that you can actually start replenishing your hormones while you're in perimenopause. You don't have to wait until you're in full-blown menopause. That's why the testing is so important, because it can tell you, hey, am I a candidate? And I'm not talking birth control pills or IUDs, which are often offered for women in perimenopause as a treatment, by the way. And yes, we do need birth control while we're still in perimenopause. We can still get pregnant, but it's less likely, and chemical birth control, again, won't get to the root cause of all these issues. So the replenishment solutions that I send people to doctors to are about a fifth of the level of the pill. It's just replenishing what your body would be making in your 40s and 50s and beyond.
I'm excited to talk about that in just a second, talking about the best types of hormone replacement therapy for menopause. Now, I do want people to be aware that it's not just age that puts you into menopause. You can also be put into menopause if you had a hysterectomy with certain medications, with some autoimmune diseases, even like Hashimoto's, Graves' disease. So you can go into premature menopause, and it's not just when you're old that you start noticing the vaginal dryness, the bladder irritability, the lack of sleep, all these different types of symptoms. So be aware, you can also check your FSH, your follicle stimulating hormone, in order to see how your pituitary is trying to communicate to your ovaries to produce estrogen. So you can look at FSH, progesterone, estrogen, and of course, you can use your age and the number of periods that you've gotten to indicate that. But I just wanted people to know this podcast is not just for those older women. There's a lot of women that are unfortunately going to early menopause now. So that being said,
correct. And can I add to that,
Lacey? Oh, you can totally add to that.
Yeah. Okay. So also trauma plays a big factor in menopause. You know, I have a lot of clients that go through, you know, a death or a loss or a divorce, and that throws them right into menopause because of that absolute stress on the adrenal glands. You know, our ovaries normally make our hormones during our reproductive years, but as we go into menopause, the brunt really shifts to the adrenal gland. So if you're already under stress, they're going to become more stressed and really not be able to keep up with just your body's basic needs. So that's something else to consider. But also, you know, the recommendations I'm giving out for hormone replenishment, I have women in their 30s with fantastically low progesterone and unopposed estrogen. And these are the women who are getting heavy clots during their periods, heavy bleeding, migraines, breast tenderness, irritability, weight gain. So all of this actually will apply to you. And I do help women either with herbs or even sometimes with progesterone supplementation topically for menstruating women really makes a big difference in the quality of their periods. It gets them under control. It helps balance out the endocrine system much better, because what people don't realize is progesterone is kind of that chill out hormone. You know, it takes the edge off. I like to joke, it's what enables me to live with my teenage son, who is now 15 as I record this, because teenagers are definitely challenging. But, you know, it takes that edge off, and it's a precursor to GABA, which is a very calming, it's gamma amino butyric acid. It's a very calming neurotransmitter for the brain that enables you to sleep. So, you know, women who are really progesterone deficient really struggle with sleep and insomnia. So this podcast really is for everybody.
I love me some progesterone. We need her. She's not just to have a baby. She's also to help us sleep, keep us calm, help us to lower our anxiety and stress. And of course, supports our metabolism, raises our basal metabolic rate as well. So absolutely love that you're saying that. Now, you guys know I cover perimenopause strategies, all that in my book, The Women's Guide to Hormonal Harmony. So you guys can grab that if you're talking about perimenopause. But today we are going to focus solely on menopause itself, the window of opportunity after you've gone through the ups and downs with the roller coasters of your hormones. So let's first start off with hormone replacement therapy, because a lot of women are scared. They think they're going to raise their risk for breast cancers or estrogen-related cancers with specific therapies. So do you mind debunking and telling us about your expertise in this area?
So the North American Menopause Society updated their position paper in 2018 saying that synthetic hormones were not the cause of cancer. Now, bear in mind, in the early studies, the testing was done with was done with synthetic hormone made from the urine of pregnant horses. That is not exactly biologically compatible with a woman's body. We are not horses, and we're certainly not pregnant when we are perimenopausal and in menopause. So bioidentical hormones, you can consider them to be a plant-based hormone. They are much more compatible with the body, and the side effects are far less, and a lot of them can bypass the liver for absorption. So for example, you can use progesterone. I give it as an oral, it's called a troche. In French, it's troche, but the Americans call it a troche. And it's a waxy tablet that dissolves between under the tongue or between the cheek and the teeth. And it helps bypass the liver. So the absorption into the bloodstream is actually quite rapid. And it doesn't have to go through the gut either to get absorbed into the bloodstream. Now, people say, well, how long do hormones take to get in my system? When you're using bioidentical hormones, it only takes a few hours, but it takes a couple of months, you know, anywhere from 6 to 16 weeks to really saturate your tissues fully. So that's something you want to be aware of, is it takes a bit of time to really hit your full potential and your maximum dosage of absorption. The other thing is, you know, with estrogen, you can give it in the form, there's so many different forms of natural hormone replacement, but typically what I recommend is also an estrogen patch. Mm-hmm. You only have to change it every 3 days. It's tiny, and it can stay on in water. You can swim with it. You can shower with it. And that's just a continuous transdermal application of estrogen. And that means it's absorbed through your skin into your bloodstream. And testosterone also, we apply transdermally. It's a topical cream. You apply it to the insides of your thighs, and that can be absorbed that way. For perimenopausal women, you may want to start with like a biased cream, something very, very low dose, very gentle, and then eventually you ramp up to the patch. But the other thing I want to talk about is vaginal replenishment of hormones. So a lot of women go through vaginal dryness and low libido. And having estrogen inserted vaginally can replenish your natural moisture into the tissues and rebuild collagen, because there's a real loss of collagen and elasticity in the vaginal walls when we do go through menopause. So applying a cream, you can actually apply a cream with some DHEA in there as well to help boost libido. So there's so many different ways that you can protect the body with hormones. And I say this because most of our chronic degenerative aging happens for women after menopause, because declining estrogen and progesterone is associated with very big cognitive changes, loss in memory, but most notably things like Alzheimer's and dementia, heart disease, and bone loss. So yes, you can take your calcium supplements, you can weightlift, you can take your vitamin D, but the outcomes, the research shows that the outcomes are so much better when it's partnered with estrogen. And Alzheimer's, heart disease, you know, that really starts 10 to 20 years before it fully manifests itself in its active form. So that's typically when we're going through menopause. So prevention is really key. So the message, the take-home message to your question, Lacey, is, you know, don't be afraid of bioidentical hormones. And the other piece, now you, some of you may be listening and saying, but I have a family history of cancer. This is an absolute no-go. Do not pass go, no hormones.
Do not pass go.
Do not pass go. So the other thing I do in practice is I test, right? I will look at, you can look at your FSH and LH levels, but I will look at things like your inflammatory markers. I test your stool to look at your gut function and your detoxification of estrogen. There's an enzyme called beta-glucuronidase. And if your levels are high, it means you're reabsorbing your estrogen into your gut.
Yes, ma'am.
Over and over and over. So you want to get that cleaned up. And then I also do a hormone test to look at your detoxification, your methylation patterns, and make sure that your hormones relative to each other are in the proper ratios. So if you're really concerned, I recommend getting more comprehensive testing done to really know if you're a candidate. Now, not everyone, I don't slap everyone on hormones. Some of my clients have a fatty liver. They have poor digestion. They need to detox their estrogen, even in menopause. Even though their levels are low relative to each other, they can still be estrogen dominant. So I do the cleanup first, because you can never out supplement or out hormone poor lifestyle choices. So you've got to clean those up first.
And I just have to throw this in there too. A lot of women forget about potential nutrient deficiencies, and they forget about cortisol dysregulation. And if cortisol is up and, or if you have low or high cortisol, your hormones are never going to be at a healthy place.
So true. Yes, absolutely. And cortisol is that stress hormone that helps us store food as fat around the belly. And also you want to look at cortisol relative to your thyroid function, because a lot of menopausal women develop thyroid dysfunction. And so if your afternoon cortisol is particularly low, you definitely want to check your thyroid function as well and get support there too. So not to be afraid of these hormones, you know, again, it's important to know and to remember that the dosing is so low and so gentle. So we're not, you know, jacking you up to levels you were at in your 20s. We're just supporting you so your body can maintain optimization. And I have clients in their 70s who swear by their hormones. They've been on them 10, 20 years. And the minute they stop or decrease, their hot flashes come right back. Vaginal dryness reappears. So it is safe and effective. As far as we know, it actually is okay to stay on these hormones. And when you think about it, I mean, if this was men going through what we women go through, everyone would be on hormones. And right now, just the medical care for hormone replenishment is minimal at best.
It's so sad. And it's not just giving progesterone and estrogen that you could do to help support menopause. You can also give testosterone therapy, because testosterone tends to dip as well. And testosterone deficiency is actually one of the diagnoses that is very much missed in this type of population. So it just makes me so sad, because they throw testosterone like it's candy to men.
Right. And let's talk about testosterone and just some warning labels. Is the only, you know, the one warning label I have against hormones is with the pellets. Pellets are very poorly regulated. There are actually zero clinical studies done on pellets and hormone replacement therapy. And I've seen my clients go on these pellets, not unbeknownst to me, their doctor says, just put these in, they're great, you're going to love them. Well, what happens is the pellets jack your hormone levels, your testosterone in particular, up to 5 times greater than what your baseline would be. And once the levels start to dip after a few months, right, they'll peak after about 3 months, and then they'll start to dip. And even though your hormone levels are so much higher than your baseline ever was, once you come down, you start to feel exhausted again, you start to feel low energy, you start to gain the weight. And by the way, my clients who have done testosterone pellet therapy, with the exception of one, I have one who does very well on them and swears by them, but most of my clients gain 10 pounds in what feels like a week or two. It just blows them up. They feel ragey, irritable. And by the way, pellet insertion is a surgical procedure and it's painful. So you're getting them inserted in your tush. So you want to make sure that you're not using pellet therapy, that you are using testosterone cream. It's very gentle. And you want to work with a functional medicine doctor or a GYN who is, or even a primary care. I mean, anybody, any doctor can prescribe you hormones. But you want to make sure you work with someone who's very well versed and does this all the time. So I found in my experience, functionally trained doctors are just a much better resource for this than a conventionally trained doctor.
Absolutely love that you mentioned that about the pellets, because I'm so anti pellets, because they give you that rapid testosterone and then it slowly degrades and moves down and then people feel like crap or they gain rapid weight. So you guys, when it comes down to therapies, my favorite is just having a good practitioner. 99% of the time I push people to Dr. Sean Tasson, who, when they need bioidenticals, do you know him? I love him.
Yes, I adore him. He is in the book. He is so brilliant. It's TASSONE, and he fiercely advocates for women and has taught me so much, right? I mean, he's a genius with hormones. But yes, you want to be very careful about quality and type. And the other thing is, you want to look at the lifestyle pieces to build testosterone. Years ago, long before I worked with menopausal women solely, I had a practice in New York City, and I had a woman in her 60s come to me, and I got her lifting weights, and she was lifting upper body weights, and we saw her blood work numbers for testosterone dramatically come up. So don't underestimate, you know, eating lots of protein to the tune of 4 to 6 ounces per meal, maybe some snacks as well. You want to make sure you're lifting weights, and especially upper body really builds testosterone beautifully. Muscle is just this incredible organ of longevity. I have to give Dr. Gabrielle Lyon a shout out too.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Fabulous, a dear friend. So yes, you want to make sure that you are eating and lifting weights and doing all the lifestyle things as well, and not just relying on hormones to do the work for you.
Amen. We cannot out supplement our diet and our lifestyle. So yeah, we have to make sure that we do that. Now, in regards to therapies, before we move on to my next question with supplements, is there anything that you would like to say when it comes down to starting for menopause? Anything that you would like to say in regards to starting a over-the-counter prescription-based therapy?
I would say work with your doctor on that and find out the risks and the benefits. Are you talking about for synthetic hormones?
Either or.
Or yeah, I would say, obviously, you know, these are my recommendations, but at the end of the day, I cannot prescribe these hormones. So talk to your doctor about options. And certainly my book will describe the difference between synthetic and bioidentical hormones. And we talked about that earlier in the podcast, but I would say if you're going, you know, and some people do choose a more synthetic route because it's less expensive. Bioidentical hormones do need to be compounded at a compounding pharmacy. So talk to your doctor. You know, estrogen patches are technically bioidentical. Progesterone you can get as over the counter as what's called Prometrium, mm-hmm. although it is in a base of peanut oil. So if you have peanut allergies, be careful. But again, Prometrium has to pass through your gut and your liver, whereas Atroche does not. So again, it's helpful to see how your body detoxes hormones, how healthy your gut is. If those are in good shape, you may be fine to tolerate more over-the-counter prescriptions. But if you tend to be really sensitive, you know, the wind blows differently and your body feels it, then yes, you're going to want to just cut to the chase and go to bioidenticals. You'll suffer a lot less with side effects, and it's worth the extra money.
And what I just want to say is you don't need to wait. You could be in perimenopause and get started. You don't need to wait. In fact, some doctors don't recommend getting started on bioidenticals if you have not used them through perimenopause. They don't recommend starting them later in menopause. So just know it's going to be doctor by doctor different. And the most important thing is get your labs done, assess where you are, and always go based off of your symptoms. If you don't feel good, keep looking, keep digging, especially because I know a lot of women, they get started on these menopausal therapies. They're like, I still don't feel good. Well, have you looked at your cortisol? Have you looked at your thyroid, your nutrients? Have you looked at your, you know, your environment, endocrine disrupting chemicals? Do yourself a favor, be your own health advocate. Okay. Off yeah. my soapbox. I have another question for you. What can women do past just diet? What can women do with supplements to help themselves?
Yeah. Well, there are so many different supplements that you can do. And again, I do recommend working with a practitioner. I have lots of people coming to me with shopping bags of supplements and self-prescribing. So educate yourself. Certainly, I'll give you some foundational ones that everyone should be on just for optimal health. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number one is magnesium glycinate. Magnesium is responsible for over 400 metabolic processes in the body, including blood sugar balance, muscle relaxation, bowel regularity, sleep. And magnesium glycinate is a form of magnesium that addresses anxiety. And when you have declining progesterone and estrogen, but in particular progesterone, you may notice that you're having more anxiety and irritability or panic attacks and insomnia. So magnesium is a really great way to help support sleep. Now you can take it orally, you know, 400 milligrams at bedtime is a wonderful dose. You can take an Epsom salt bath.
You could take my magical sleep formula from NourishWell.
You can take Lacey's magical sleep formula from NourishWell.
Gentle plug.
And good. Let's do it. And you can also use topical magnesium, like in the middle of the night, if you can't fall back asleep, you throw some on there. Okay. Vitamin D is essential. I mean, first of all, COVID flu prevention, that's a no-brainer. You want your blood levels to be around 60 to 80, no lower than 40, to really optimize your bone density, your immune function, blood sugar, so many things. So vitamin D, you know, I would say if your levels are normal, you could take 5,000 a day, get out in the sun without sunglasses, get a hat and just shade your face that way from the sun. But make sure that you're, if you can tolerate it and not burn, make sure you're getting at least 15 to 30 minutes of sun exposure without sunscreen. And if you are deficient, you can take up to 10,000 units a day for 3 months and then retest your blood work. Omega-3 is also really important because we develop a lot of inflammation in menopause too. You can get a lot of achiness, a lot of arthritis symptoms due to progesterone and estrogen deficiency. So omega-3s help quell the inflammation, help fight body fat. So those are really good starting points. I mean, I can go on and on, but there's a long, long list for sure.
And one of my favorites would be black cohosh when we're talking about night sweats or hot flashes. It's very helpful for women that have low estrogen as well. So that's my favorite. And Vitex. I'm a big fan of Vitex. It does a lot of different things. We're talking about helping to balance estrogen and progesterone, helping with potential anxiety. So I'm a big fan of Vitex as well.
Yeah. And Vitex is great in perimenopause. There comes a point where progesterone supplementation will just be much faster and more effective.
100%.
Yes. So yes. And I do love, while we're talking about herbs, I love ashwagandha, rhodiola, holy basil. These are all what are called adaptogenic herbs, which support your adrenals and help make your body more resilient to stress. Now, most people say, well, great. Now I feel energized. I have my energy back. I can do more. The goal is not to take on more. The goal is to replenish you during menopause. And can we talk about workouts for a second too and how those shift?
Oh, I want to talk about workouts. I want to talk about diet. I want to get into the nitty gritties, right, but yes, workouts. You tell me.
Yeah.
What are the best exercises?
Yeah. So often, right, I do have some clients who come to me with very healthy, robust cortisol curves, but the majority of my clients either fall into super high jacked up cortisol, you know, we're at the age now where we have teenagers and aging parents, the 40s and 50s are definitely intense decades. So, and then I have other women who are just so burnt out that their cortisol is just flatlined and they're really exhausted and no get up and go, no endurance. And what happens is in either camp, the women I see say, oh, I'm gaining more weight. I'm going to eat less and start exercising more. And I'm going to get on that Peloton and ride. And it's actually doing more harm than good at this point. So we do need to change the way we work out. And the good news is we get to exercise smarter, not harder. And it's actually, I work out less now than I did in my 20s and 30s when I ran marathon. And it's, I can maintain body composition, which is nice. So I recommend if you're exhausted, if you're not sleeping well, if your energy's poor, you've got brain fog, slow down, take walks, do yoga. And by walks, I mean, you know, 10,000 steps a day, 15,000 steps a day, but do, and they can be broken up all throughout the day. You know, I'll do a long walk in the morning and a nice walk in the afternoon with the dog. So I break it up throughout the day. I stand, you're not sitting all day. I stand at my desk a lot. And then also you want to incorporate strength training because this is the time when we really lose muscle mass, and muscle you know, muscle loss sneaks up on you very slowly. And then one day you wake up and you're like, where's all the cellulite from? I have no more muscle tone. What happened to my body? That is from years of not doing enough strength training. So, and the good news is there are studies that show you can build muscle even in your 90s. So you want to make sure that you're picking up weights. You know, you can start with small weights, but work with a strength coach or a program, or do the Peloton strength classes instead. Really start picking up weights. I see dramatic changes in my clients who cut back on exercise. They're like doing, you know, they used to do the hour-long Peloton and then they'd be exhausted later. So instead, I have them do the nice gentle scenic ride on Peloton and then do the strength classes or the Pilates or the bar or something that is going to put tension against your muscles, because that is how you build muscle. So it's really great and an exciting time to mix things up and just get a break from the same old, same old.
I absolutely love that you said work smarter, not harder. A lot of women, they think that they just need to do more cardio and more intensity. And it sucks because once you walk into menopause, unfortunately you do lose progesterone. And at the same time, you lose the ability to combat cortisol. And that makes you predisposed to weight gain and predisposed to being more inflammatory with higher intensity workouts. So I like to say lowering the intensity can be very helpful. You don't have to, you know, be a little baby, but reduce the amount of all the high intensity work, like the Orange Theory, the CrossFit classes. You really have to be more in tune with your body and yourself and ask yourself, how does this truly make me feel?
That's right. Cause you should feel, you know, you should feel like you've had a workout, but you should also have enough energy reserved through the day. And, you know, if your cortisol is really low, you can really be more prone to hypoglycemia and feeling really crummy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're not running on an empty tank. You want to make sure that you do feel energized and supportive. And I've never had a client say to me after walking or yoga, they've never said, oh my God, I'm so exhausted, I can't get through the day. But I have some clients that weep, you know, with exhaustion by 4 p.m. Then they grab the Starbucks, then they don't sleep all night. And it's a vicious cycle. So once we pull back, they say, you know what, my energy's better, my sleep is better, because the high intensity workouts will also, if you're high cortisol, they'll keep it really high for a long period of time after. It doesn't come down so easily. So I do lower cortisol. I tamp it down with lifestyle, again, with the herbal supplements, the ashwagandha, some rhodiola, and that tends to rebalance the system much better.
I love that. So we got to be gentle to our bodies. We don't want to overdo training. Training can also, you guys, when you walk into menopause, you lose estrogen, which helps you to be insulin sensitive. So doing some weight training can essentially increase what's called glucose 4 transporters within your cells that help to make you more insulin sensitive. So weight training can help you to improve your metabolism, as your metabolism takes a hit when you lose that estrogen as well. So weight train, but not too hard. Let's talk about diet. What are some dietary recommendations or changes that women can make in menopause that really help them with their symptoms and their metabolism as well?
So contrary to what you might read, you do not have to get rid of all carbs in menopause. In fact, it's often the opposite. So keto does help women lose weight initially for about 2 to 3 months. And then what I see is it stops working and no one can sustain it anyway. It's very, very restrictive. And I'm all about sustainability. I'd rather see slower, more gradual changes than doing something that works and then stops and then leaves you floundering and frustrated. So number one is I do like to flip people's ratios. Most of us tend to naturally gravitate towards carbs and are lighter on the protein. We're far more deficient than we think. So I do recommend 1 gram of protein per pound of your ideal body weight. So that often equates to, you know, 5 ounces of protein 4 times a day. So for a lot of women, and a lot of women, it's a very high class problem to have. They can't eat all that, or they're just not hungry because protein is the only nutrient that shuts off hunger in the brain. So you get fuller quicker, your cravings go away, your blood sugar is stable for 4 to 6 hours after a protein-rich meal. So don't be afraid to have a lot of protein. You're not going to bulk up. You do not have the testosterone or the caloric intake to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You just don't. And so that's not... I know, if only. It's just not going to happen for you. So make sure that you're getting a lot of protein, and that will also help your sleep because your blood sugar will be stable. The next thing is, if you, I recommend you log your food. There's so many great tracking apps there. I mean, Apple has one. My Fitness Pal has one. There's Chronometer. There's so many, or Chronometer, I think, is fee for service, but there are a lot of great tracking apps out there. I recommend you track your foods and you make sure that your protein is always higher than your carbs. So if you're getting, you know, 140 grams of protein a day, make sure your carbs are like 100 to 120, depending around your activity levels. If you're lifting a lot of weights, those are the days you can absolutely have more carbs. And carbs, I'm not talking donuts and ice cream and bagels. We're talking about sweet potatoes, rice, white potatoes, winter squash, legumes, if you tolerate them, beans and lentils, vegetables, fruits. Those are whole food carbs. They're nutrient dense. They're not processed. Gluten-free oats for a lot of people also are slow cooked oats. You know, these all have nutrients in them. They are wonderful, especially post-workout. And if you're lifting really hard, I actually recommend getting, you know, at least 30 to 40 grams of carbs in the form of, believe it or not, honey and rice cakes with some salt to really get your, or white rice with maple syrup. If you're very lean metabolically, you can have the extra carbs after your workouts. But if you feel you don't need them and you want to leave that just to your mealtimes, that's also fine. And then the other thing you can play with is intermittent fasting. And again, this is really individual. There's not a lot of research on this for ladies. I looked at about 73 studies when I wrote Cave Women Don't Get Fat, and 13 were done on women. What I have found anecdotally is that in my practice, menopausal women do better with intermittent fasting, or intermittent fasting works better the first half of the menstrual cycle, because your blood sugar is more stable. You don't have, your hormones are fluctuating a lot less, and your appetite is much better controlled during that time. So you have to play and see what works for you. And an intermittent fast means you can go 12 hours is a nice starting point. So you eat dinner at by 7 p.m. You don't have it until at least 7 a.m. or later. You can also do smaller eating windows. You could do 10 to 6. You could do 12 to 5. You can really experiment and play. For some people, this is not a great fit. They're just too ragey or hungry, or blood sugar imbalances, or it triggers overeating later in the day. If that is the camp you fall into, do not do aggressive intermittent fasting. It's not a fit for you. But if you notice that your energy is better, your sleep is better, your appetite's better, and you really see fat loss on this, then intermittent fasting can absolutely work for you. And you definitely want to give, if you're doing, you know, these 5 hour or 8 hour eating windows, you do want to give your body a break periodically, because like anything, it will get used to it. But I really see wonderful weight loss results with intermittent fasting as well.
I absolutely do love IF, and I do it myself. You do have to be very careful when it comes down to hypothyroidism, cortisol dysregulation, and hormone imbalances, but especially in menopause, it can be a great way to help with insulin sensitivity, help with hunger levels. And I find it as a tool, quote unquote tool, not the best way to lose weight, but it just is a tool because it lowers the amount of calories potentially that you're eating throughout the day. Now there can be a rebound with that. Of course, if you're not eating breakfast and then you rebound in the evening because you starve all day, that can happen. But I do think intermittent fasting can be a potential tool for women. So I'm very glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing I want to mention is having carbs before bed. And most people can't even believe what they're hearing when I tell them this, but think about it this way. If you are not sleeping, right, the goal, you will gain weight anyway, because your cortisol levels will become dysregulated, as will your blood sugar. So the goal is to first tackle sleep. And often, you know, you can have protein by day and carbs at night. So if you can get a good cup to cup and a half of carbs at night with dinner, big cup of rice, some nice potatoes or sweet potatoes or beans, your sleep is, you're going to really jack up your dopamine and serotonin, and you will bump up your insulin, but that will tamp down your cortisol in return. So it really can facilitate a wonderful night's sleep. And you can say, well, it's going to imbalance my blood sugar. Once you support your sleep, that will counterbalance and really get you more insulin sensitive again. So it is a fine balance. This may not work for you. You may find you're better off with carbs right after a workout, but I would encourage you, if you're in the menopausal space and nothing's working, I would absolutely encourage you to give it a try. You've nothing to lose except pounds and everything to gain.
I absolutely love all your wisdom. So thank you so much for coming on my podcast and of course sharing your expertise. And you guys, you have to check out her book. See you later, ovulator. Esther, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. And can you tell my listeners where they can find you and follow you?
Yes. Thanks for having me, Lacey. What a pleasure to be with a rockin' dietitian who gets it. So yes, I'm on Instagram at Gorgeous Esther, or my website is estherblum.com. And my book is See Ya Later, Ovulator.
I love it. You guys know that that will be in the description below. And thank you so much again for your time. And I hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you. You too.